Maurice Vincent is the CEO of In-House Litigation Support Services, which provides a full suite of attorney services and litigation support that allows law firms and internal counsel to outsource these areas cost-effectively. This type of service allows law firms to focus on their core competencies. Maurice, in our interview, first defines the term litigation support, and then describes what litigation support providers should be doing for law firms. Ed draws from Maurice how law firms can save money and better serve their clients while using this outsourced service.
I have the pleasure today to talk to Maurice Vincent, and his business, if you will, is litigation support. And Maurice, why don't you tell us a little bit about your industry and what litigation support really means? I've heard the term a lot. I think I know what it means, but I also think that everybody who's in the field uses slightly different definition for the term.
Well, Ed, first of all, let me thank you for taking some opportunity to speak with me and giving me an opportunity to really expand upon how litigation support is defined. And I'll get right into it and address your question. Litigation support actually comes under a couple of different headings. The space of which we operate is actually in reference to the outsourcing that a law firm will do, whether it is an attorney service that goes with process serving, court filing, and or messenger service. That's one area of the business. And most certainly it goes to copying and scanning. There's an acronym used called ESI, which stands for electronically stored information, whether it's preserved, collected from a litigation hold standpoint, and then that data is actually processed in order to be put into a TIFF, which is a image, and or a native file, which is the native format that the data was actually put in. And then there's the process of web hosting, and of course trial support when an individual attorney or attorneys go in and they need electronic support in the courtroom.
Okay, now the ESI is electronically stored information?
That is correct.
So in other words, these companies, and I won't mention names, that have hundreds if not thousands and thousands of boxes of data in hard copy format may at some point be things of the past?
Well, that is actually correct. More and more information and how we communicate is actually done via email, whether it is done person to person or sender and receiver. And of course, there's the standpoint of using Microsoft Word as well as Microsoft Excel in its Office suite of products. And since more communication is being done that way, a lot of the information is actually being collected and processed as a result of us communicating in a more electronic form.
So one way to save money then is perhaps to take some of your hard copy files and create or scan them into electronic versions and then store them electronically rather than in hard copy. And that's, I suspect, one way to save on the cost of real estate in the operation of a law firm.
Absolutely. Many of the firms, depending on what type of practice they are, will use the same documents in a case. And so if that is going to be the case, then backfile converting and making them searchable PDFs and or of a TIFF format so that they can be searched and utilized over and over again. And, of course, the cost to scan is a one-time cost where reproducing paper after paper after paper is really cost prohibitive.
Yeah, it was interesting because I heard from a managing partner a number of years ago where he was taking some folks who were somewhat physically challenged and giving them a job in the evening when it wouldn't interfere with their normal daily operation and asking them to create the scanned document through a leased photocopy machine. And the photocopy company, the equipment company, did not charge them for that because they didn't print out the hard copy. They just scanned it. Is that still the way it's being done today?
The answer to your question is a resounding yes. When you're dealing with copying equipment, there's a term used in the industry called a click. A click is when a piece of paper goes in and a second piece of paper comes out, which of course makes a copy of the original document. When you're doing it from a scanning standpoint, the machine does not recognize a click. Therefore, there isn't a charge other than getting them into a electronic database. Where it becomes much more finite is when you're building the actual database, the mother-child relationship with the documents, looking at binding elements to determine where document breaks are, and of course naming conventions or some type of coding or indexing to identify the documents and make them searchable.
That's interesting. So in this particular case, this firm, which was in the Midwest, was doing good by doing well, and they were reducing the cost of their storage by eliminating paperwork that they no longer needed.
Well,
interesting.
You can just imagine if you're paying off-site for some type of storage, you have a reoccurring cost that's going to hit you every month. And depending on how large the document base grows, that cost can actually increase over time. When you take those boxes and then convert them to a CD and or a DVD, and of course the DVD will hold many more pages, and you make them a searchable database, ease of access it just makes it so much easier to work with the documents. And the nicest thing is that because you're, in some cases, you're using the same documents, if they're doing it for trial prep, identifying them or endorsing them, which is giving them a naming convention for that particular case, and also to electronically Bates number is much more cost-effective than having it done physically by hand.
Well, let me move on a bit and ask you, what should be the primary role of somebody whom we call a litigation support supplier?
Their primary role is to, and actually there are three. First and foremost, the litigation support provider should provide education. Education in the standpoint of what is available and what options are available in order to get them the outcome that they're attempting to achieve within their case. The consultation comes in, which is the second phase, in helping them understand that this is a cost-driven decision. So having two to three options to choose from, knowing that the actual end client is the payer as opposed to the law firm in itself because it's a pass-through invoice. So really you're positioning them to present the end client with a couple of different options that are cost-effective but in most cases cost-driven. And then a third phase is actually solution implementation and putting into place what the end client and the firm have decided on and making sure that it's going to get a good result for them in order to do that, in order to prepare for that case.
Well, give me an example of what some of the options might be in a particular case.
In the beginning, let's say that we have, and let's look at it in its truest form, you want to make paper another piece of paper. Well, that's not necessarily the most cost-effective way. So where you would provide the education is really talking with the firm about how many times will this document group be reproduced. If they're going to be reproduced more than once, it makes from a cost standpoint more sense to actually scan it than it does to recopy it. Because you can manipulate the database in many different ways, as long as you have the originals in a database, you can make another copy of the database, of course. Now you have a clean copy that's always there. And if you have to have them again endorsed and electronically Bates labeled, that's an electronic process that does it on its own as long as the actual endorsement and the electronic Bates number are in the same place on every page. So it's really a click-and-go process as opposed to something that's done physically.
Okay, so we look at this from the perspective of the supplier and what the supplier, how the supplier should be working with the lawyer or the law firm, i.e. education, consultation, and implementation of a particular solution that's selected. Now, let me turn the table on you just a bit and ask you, from your perspective, how should a law firm evaluate the many suppliers that are out there?
Well, the first question that a law firm should ask a lit support provider, regardless of what space they're in, They should ask them how they would go about consulting with them and give them, let's say, a hypothetical case and how they would give them recommendations on how to move forward. Also, you have to know whether they offer a full suite of services or if they're going to have to go to different outside suppliers within that same vendor, so to speak. And a good example, let's say that there is a supplier on the outside who only does copying and scanning and has no experience in background in ESI processing. Well, they're going to have to outsource, create a pass-through invoice, and because the data is not on that physical, at the physical location of the one who's originally took the work, you really don't have the ability to do the proper or ensure that the proper QC is done. So you want to make sure that they really are a true full service provider as opposed to a fragmented one.
Okay, you've talked about the space they're in. What are, and go over for me again, if you will, the various categories of service that a lit support supplier would provide. I know, for example, I'm thinking of a very large company right now that came in and started doing one thing and then expanded into the mail room and other things and so forth. But what are the various services that, in your experience, a full service, what we call a full service lit support provider would serve or offer them with?
Well, I believe and am confident that the lit support is actually carved into four sections. Section one is actually the active attorney service that does the court filing, process serving, and offers a messenger service as well. Unfortunately, there are people in the business who do that and don't go beyond that suite of services. The second is actually working with bankruptcy firms and also litigation firms where you have the ability to mass produce, of course, copying and or scanning and have the ability to stuff, fold, mail, all of those types of things, but also taking massive amounts of documents and either copying them and or scanning them to create databases. The third is the actual ESI processing, the electronically stored information, where they're converting actual electronic data into a usable format for review for the firm. And then going to the view platform or the viewing platform for the law firm where they're looking at a web hosting tool or they have the ability to actually provide trial support in the courtroom.
Okay, so when you talk about web hosting, now you're talking about a whole different kettle of fish.
Absolutely.
Okay. So in other words, going from inside the office to scanning to inside the courtroom, that part I understand. But now you've come up with web hosting as another service that some of the lit support folks are providing.
Web hosting, in essence, if you looked at the Internet as a review tool, which actually it is, it's a search engine and review tool for whatever you pull and put in the subject line. Web hosting takes a massive amount of documents and allows you to multiple parties, regardless of where they're located in the country or inside the law firm. There are going to be certain criteria and or levels where they have the ability to redact, tag documents, and different things of that nature, and they're given those levels so that they have full capabilities or limited capabilities in doing so. But what it does is it allows someone to travel, still have an encrypted logon, review documents, and create what we like to call a production set that are going to be for review. The firm is actually reviewing the documents to find the documents that they're going to use to actually do preparation for their trial or what they believe will actually win their trial.
Well, if I hear you correctly, you're not talking about what I would traditionally call web hosting, but rather you're talking about creating an intranet, if you will, where anybody and everybody in the law firm with the appropriate clearance can get to the documents that you've scanned and stored. Is that right?
That is correct.
So it's not a website creation and design and search engine optimization and web hosting in the Internet or the currently thought of internet process, but rather a very narrow, specific rationale for having this access to the internet. That is the documents that you're working with on behalf of the law firm.
That is correct. And the nice thing is when you have back in the day when attorneys used to travel with boxes and boxes and boxes in order to do the review process, it is now digital. And so someone can actually travel with a CD, a DVD, or, of course, go online via a web hosting tool and do that same type of review without having to have all of the hard copies traveling with them.
Okay, I've got a couple of what I would perceive after our conversation thus far, silly questions, but I think it's probably appropriate to ask just to make sure we all understand what we're talking about, and that is, how can the outsourcing of these types of services help the law firm manage its cost for a particular client? Why not do it internally? Why should the law firm outsource these machinations, these services that are required?
Well, the law firm today is in a very interesting position. They are marketers and somewhat sellers to a certain extent when they go out to end-user clients to present their law firm as the option of choice. And so having a good lit support company support them, they actually have the ability to negotiate pricing structure with that external lit support firm, because all billable hours from the attorney, the paralegal, and any other billing that they generate, in order for them to do what we do and have the same size employee workforce, that cost is getting passed on to the actual end user. And using an outsourced litigation support provider, you're paying a fraction of that cost, not to mention you have the ability to negotiate whether it's a per gig price in the web hosting, a per gig price in the conversion of ESI, a copy price for reprographics and or a scanning price. So you have flexibilities that aren't associated with the physical person that comes out of a law firm that's supporting an attorney.
Well, one of the things I take from what you're just saying is that the law firm is capable of unbundling its services and charging for that which it really has the skill to do, that is, understand what the challenge is or the problem is and creating solutions for the client and charging for that sort of value, whether it be determined by a fixed fee or by hour or however the law firm chooses to do it. But if they can unbundle the lit support aspect of it, they can make it appear that the law firm is seeking a lower cost or a lower fee from the client. That part I understand. What I don't understand from what you're saying, though, is, well, first, perhaps I have to identify my assumption. When a law firm brings services of whatever nature, whether it be that of a lawyer or a paralegal or what have you, inside its walls, generally speaking, it's able to create a wholesale price for that service, just like a corporation will hire a legal department rather than outsource to a law firm because they're paying a lower price per unit of time or service or however. So they're paying a wholesale price. Why is an outside lit support service company less expensive for the law firm and or its client than having it brought inside?
First and foremost, the billable time by an attorney and or a paralegal doing what we do. Second, we have incurred the cost of all of the equipment, the space, the staffing associated with reproducing the work, and that's a cost that the law firm actually isn't incurring in order to for us to do it. And so from our perspective, we're charging a ESI conversion, a per gig price, or if we're charging a per page price. We're not passing on to them the cost of the equipment, the cost of our rent, the light bill, and, of course, the staffing associated. So getting it at a per-page or per-gig price is less expensive than doing it internally and incurring all the costs that we do.
Okay, well, you have to cover those costs, but I think what you're saying is that you can spread it out over a broader range than what the law firm could handle.
Absolutely. The law firm, although it may have multiple cases that it's dealing with in a given week, month, or a couple of months, we also are doing the same thing with our capacity. And so we may be servicing 5 to 6 law firms in one day and reproducing something for their trial preparation and review.
How has the technology changed the way lit support suppliers work with law firms in today's world?
Well, back when, maybe 10 or 15 years ago, there was only copying. And, of course, the scanning equipment was a different animal altogether. Today, the machines, number one, are combined in one. Copy and scan machines are one and the same. Number two, the ESI platforms have just grown so dramatically in this space to where really the only thing that you want to look is when someone has a proprietary software, you're kind of somewhat locked to them, as opposed to someone who not purchases something off the shelf, but something that's been commonly used in the industry that's continually updated on a weekly, monthly, or annual basis to get upgrades for that software. So ESI has changed. Web hosting tools have become much more user-friendly, almost Microsoft-based, so to speak, very easy to navigate through. And also, the instruction and the training for those are a lot easier to do for those who aren't as technologically savvy.
Maurice, what now are the differences, for my last question, between working with a large firm or a small firm?
A larger firm has a tendency to actually have all the things that we do in-house. And so it's not uncommon for a $700 million firm to have its own records, facilities management, internal, meaning they do what we do exactly to a certain extent, because they won't do the electronic portion of it, but certainly the copy and the scan. The medium to small size firm doesn't have the resources, so to speak, in order to bring all of these technologies, the equipment, and even the space to bring all of this in-house. So in working with that medium to small size firm, they're hit with a box full of data, whether it is a hard drive, some CDs and DVDs, and that's the discovery process and the information, and they're left to figure out and fend for themselves on how to get the information they need for review. That's where we come into play in the education, consultation, and the solution implementation, and making sure that they're prepared to not only process the data, but put it in a usable format, because they're not as technologically advanced as a larger firm.
Well, when you talk about the larger firm, are we talking about the larger lit support firm or the larger law firm?
We're actually talking about a larger law firm.
Okay, so you're saying that the larger law firm can handle some of these things that the smaller law firm can't, so that what you're doing, you're providing them with the knowledge base and the guidance, if you will, to level the playing field.
And the processing, and the processing as well as the capacity to be able to actually compete with a larger law firm in that technical space where they can process that data and put it in a usable format for themselves.
Well, based on my background, I have to ask you this other question, and that is, as a smaller lit support supplier, would such an animal be able to take on, for example, a larger law firm, and though they didn't do everything themselves, be able to sort of subcontract to other aspects of other lit support suppliers?
Absolutely, and that's very common in the industry, because major law firms, regardless of what size and what lit support they have internally, there's an internal threshold, and when they hit that threshold, they would need to outsource someone. So as an example, a terabyte of data is a tremendous amount of ESI processing if it all was going to be produced. Their pipe, so to speak, they would have to have a lot of equipment in order to process all of that data. So having a relationship with an outside supplier that has additional capacity to continue the process, because when it's go time and it's you're going through the discovery process and you have to produce this information, you have a certain window with which you have to do it, and of course you can ask for a continuance when it's necessary. But if that isn't the case and you can't obtain it, you almost have to outsource it to an outside supplier.
Well, Maurice, I want to thank you for joining us today. It's been an education, as you might say, to learn more about the litigation support supplier aspect of what today has become a really very much more important aspect of the litigation process, and even in transactional analyses. I'm sure that your support services are in high demand. So again, thank you for joining us today.
Ed, and thank you as well.
You have been listening to a Law Biz podcast. For more podcasts, please visit www.lawbiz.com/podcasts.html. Feel free to tell your friends and colleagues about Law Biz podcasts. You may duplicate this program in part or in whole, provided that you retain appropriate attribution and copyright notices.